Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, we're going to talk AEW Blood and Guts as Chris Jericho falls from the top of the cage.
Two huge matches have been announced for AEW's Double or Nothing pay-per-view at the end of the month, and a stacked Dynamite has been announced for next week.
Speaking of Double or Nothing, Tony Khan has confirmed that will be a fully attended show.
And an update on the big plans for Randy Orton and Riddle as a tag team in WWE. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
Let's talk a little blood and guts. Let's kick this thing off by talking about that main event match. This was, of course, AEW's version of a War Games match. And it was probably a bit more, I think this is fair to say, a bit more in line with the traditional War Games format in that it was based more on heat and hatred than high spots and gifable moments. Certainly had plenty of those. Sammy Guevara was particularly electric and it was updated for modern palettes and everything else. But the big talking point from this match is the finish and what happened after the finish. The finish saw MJF and Chris Jericho, who were on top of the cage. MJF had Jericho at his mercy. He was saying, "You guys better surrender or I'm going to throw this guy off the edge of the cage." Sammy Guevara, of course, surrendered. He didn't want to see Jericho go off the top. MJF, because he's MJF, chose to do that anyway. So he shoved Jericho down. Jericho landed. Unfortunately, you know, the way they filmed the landing, you saw that it was this padded thing and it maybe lacked a little bit of the impact you look for from spots like this. And Shotzi Blackheart actually has kind of trolled this already, posting a gif of somebody falling onto a bed on Twitter, which I thought was quite funny. But, you know, the thing with these spots is that they, you know fine well that they're padded landings. You know that people aren't just taking a shoot bump onto some unprotected steel or wood or whatever. But you gotta film it the right way and frame it the right way, and you don't really want to see someone making a soft landing, so there are definitely valid criticisms to be had there. But I will go into greater detail on what I thought of this match and everything else in my article, Ups and Downs, on the website. It'll be on the website by the time this video goes up. Check that out, cheap plug over. But yeah, Chris Jericho, 50-year-old man, flying off the top of the cage. That still takes balls, padding or no padding. And yeah, there we go, Adam Wilborn. That's our story, man falls over.
Well, I thought it was a bloody great match. I can understand the divisive nature, not necessarily of the finish, but of the post-match. I think it makes a lot of sense. People have, you know, maybe said that they slightly underwhelmed with how they finished it, but it's a surrender. And also, I like the fact that it was Sammy, who obviously idolises Chris Jericho, and just goes to show what a nice bloke Maxwell is. By, you know, allowing them to surrender before he threw Chris Jericho off. Yeah. And then, you know, things happened and what have you. In terms of, like, I've got mixed emotions. Because, like you say, I was slightly underwhelmed by just going, oh, he's landed on a crash pad. But then also, it's difficult because I was front of the queue complaining when Matt Hardy took that horrific bump against Sammy Guevara. And I can't understand wrestling fans being like, I want to see a 50-year-old man nearly die bumping on legitimate concrete from that high up. You can't do that. I think the basic issue here, Andy, is just, like you said, the way they shot it. I saw someone on Twitter, apologies, I forgot to write down their name, suggesting that they should maybe have just kept the camera on Max or MJF. So when he falls, it stays on his bloody face. He does the whole thank you thing, which I thought was a wonderful shot. And then you can cut to Chris Jericho and it's insinuated. We all kind of know it's on a crash pad, but at least it looks slightly more realistic. What do you reckon?
Yeah, you've absolutely nailed that. That's taking the words right out of my mouth, basically. I think that would have been a more effective way of doing things. But also, you know, with stuff like this, this was like a 20-30 minute match, right? It's important sometimes to not let a single moment spoil that experience. So people view things in different ways. That's entirely fair. You know, wrestling is entirely subjective. It's an art form. We all consume these things and interpret them differently. So like I said, my in-depth thoughts will be in the article, yeah. But I had a good time watching the show broadly.
And my in-depth thoughts will be on the podcast where I review it with the Dadly Boys later on today. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from. Also, quick words for our editors. Good luck using half of the images from Blood and Guts, because as I said, yeah, quite a lot of claret spilled in that match.
Yeah.
But, wild stuff. Would love to know everyone's thoughts in the comments section below. Looking forward, though, it is, of course, Double or Nothing at the end of this month, Sunday the 30th. Of May, and two matches were confirmed for it on last night's Dynamite. It is going to be Britt Baker, the number one contender, challenging Hikaru Shida for the AEW Women's World title, and one of Pac or Orange Cassidy challenging Kenny Omega for one of his many titles, this one being the AEW World title. In terms of who is going to be challenging him, that's going to be decided on next week's stacked Dynamite. Not only is it going to be, as I said, Pac versus Orange Cassidy to determine who faces Kenny Omega, SCU will challenge the Young Bucks for the AEW tag titles. If SCU lose, they are done. They are done as a team. And Miro, the former Rusev, is going to challenge a man who's buggered, basically, Darby Allin, for his TNT Championship. Darby Allin was thrown down the arena stairs on not even like, you know, worked. Just watched it happen. Concrete stairs. Yeah. Down you go, boy. That was done by All Ego, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky on last night's show. Oh, and also on next week's show, just in case you've forgotten, John Moxley, IWGP United States Championship defense against New Japan's Yuji Nagata. Can it be next Wednesday already, Andy?
Yeah, man, this is a ridiculous card for next week. I mean, really, we say this a lot when AEW or NXT or whoever stacks a lineup, but this is a pay-per-view caliber show. Tag team title match of huge implications. SCU have to split up. Yuji Nagata versus Jon Moxley is a hell of a lot of fun. I'm missing something. What am I missing? Yeah, the TNT title match. Miro had a great promo last night. And then the pay-per-view. Talk about the pay-per-view, man. Sport-like booking. That's what this is. Britt Baker's number one in the rankings. You're number one, you get the title shot. Pac and Orange Cassidy are number one and number two in the rankings. Fight each other. Whoever wins gets the title shot. Sport-like booking. You love to see it. Genuinely, you love to see it. Things are shaping up nicely. Dynamite's on a good run at the moment, and I think Double or Nothing is going to be a really good pay-per-view. Now, one thing about Double or Nothing that Tony Khan confirmed yesterday on Busted Open Radio, this is going to be a fully attended show.
Oh.
Big step for pro wrestling coming out of the COVID era, obviously. He confirmed this, 100% full capacity in Daly's Place. Daly's Place holds up to 5,500 people. That will change depending on the setup and what space they need for the set design and everything else. I should note that AEW's last attended show, fully attended show at Daly's Place, was on the 1st of January 2020, and it drew 3,900 people. So maybe a similar figure to that, maybe a bit less if people are still a bit iffy about coming out. Now, no word on mask mandates or you know, other measures that will be taken here. Comes following the UFC show the other week, which had loads of fans, something like 15,000 in that arena in Jacksonville. Also, I believe there was a Machine Gun Kelly concert, an MGK concert at Daly's Place the other week that was co-promoted by the Cans. So this was going to happen eventually. One promotion was going to come forward and go, yep, fully attended show, let's go. I would expect this to kind of open the floodgates for other shows. I would expect WWE now to feel emboldened by this and go, hey, we're going to return to touring before these guys. We want to be the first. We've reported on that recently as well. And look, there are obvious concerns, and I don't know how positive I feel about this. Watching the show, it will be awesome. Like, the viewing experience will be great. Having an energized live crowd, a packed out Daly's Place, theoretically that's incredible. But obviously, the health and safety concerns warrant criticism for this, and we're going to give it that. The UFC event, from what we know so far, from what has been reported, hasn't turned out to be a super spreader show, although maybe something will contrast that soon, which is encouraging. But still, to me personally, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not sitting here with the medical stuff that AEW surely have before making this decision, it still feels a little bit early for me at the end of May. But here we are, it's happening, and it is what it is.
Yeah, tentative optimism about having fans back, but still just, yeah, that nervous feeling within all of us, because until we get the full green light from, what is it, the CDC over in America, from the government here in the UK, or whoever it may be, I'm still a little bit wary of it all. I would love to see fans back. I'd love to see 20,000 people at every single show, but I don't know, like you say, I'm not too sure, but you know, if they follow the rules, everyone stay safe, everyone wear a mask. Like I say, we are so close to the end now, and I know the vaccination effort over in the States is doing big things as well. Let's conclude by talking about Riddle and Randy Orton, RK Bro. A little bit of an update from PW Insider's Mike Johnson on this, reporting that they are set to receive a significant push as a tag team. For me, they are one of the best things on Monday Night Raw right now. I think they're 2-0 after they beat Elias and Ryker. They've got RK Bro merch coming. Of course they have. Fingers crossed, maybe Riddle will convince him to get matching gear eventually. We all know where this is heading. Randy Orton turning on Riddle was, I think, mentioned by Corey Graves on week one. But I love these two as a tag team, and I think the dynamic's actually really entertaining on Raw.
Yeah, it's drawing a lot of praise, and it's a very popular act. They do have a degree of chemistry that makes them like a compelling on-screen pairing. So why throw that away straight away? Personally, I find it very hard to enjoy Matt Riddle stuff subjectively because of the horrible things he's been accused. I can't get over that mental block. I'm not just sitting there at home going, hey, I hate this guy, I'm going to unlike this by default. I just consume it and I don't get into it knowing what we know about certain accusations. So there's that side of it as well, for sure. But it's proven a very popular thing, a gimmick. They do have chemistry, like I said, and they probably make a good feud partner for AJ Styles and Omos with the tag team titles.
Yeah, so there we go. Right, let's move on to our Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. Mark Lee Willis starts us off saying, morning, legends. Morning, Mark. What do you think about this? SCU lose against the Young Bucks next week via shenanigans, obviously, but the Bucks offer them a double or nothing match where it's not only the tag titles and SCU on the line, but Daniels' career.
Oh, interesting way to raise the stakes. I think it's a pretty cool idea, and like I think in other circumstances this would be perfectly viable. But I think with Moxley and Kingston looming, the likelier route is that SCU lose, they split up, Kazarian turns heel on Daniels after that, Daniels takes the pin, and then we move on to the pay-per-view where it's Moxley and Kingston versus the Bucks. That seems like the road to me.
Yes, I think that might be right, especially with what happened last night with the, well, I was going to say non-match. I mean, a match actually happened, but there were so many bloody shenanigans. Kenny Omega's not here. Here he is, actually. Blah, blah, blah. Young Bucks. Everyone, Gallows and Anderson getting involved. Shenanigans are plenty. I think that's the direction they're heading for the tag titles at the pay-per-view at the end of the month, as you mentioned. Second question today. You'll probably guess why I picked this as soon as I read out this person's name, Andy. Second question today comes from Kentucky Beaver Slap.
What?
Who says, does Kenny Omega lose all the belts one at a time, or does Hangman Page win the AEW title and due to a stipulation, Kenny has to vacate all the others, thus becoming the savior of pro wrestling?
Oh, that's a really interesting angle. I've always thought that since Kenny started collecting the belts, that he'd lose the AEW one first. Yeah. He'd have a crisis of confidence, go on a bit of a losing streak, drop. But I think I like your idea even more. It prevents him having to take a glut of losses. It puts Hangman Page over as a huge babyface, the savior of wrestling, like you've said. That's a killer idea. You should sell that to Tony Khan.
Yes.
It's great. It's really good.
And sell your name, because Kentucky Beaver Slap is a hell of a Twitter name. Speaking of hell of Twitter names, Uesugi Kenshin, regular contributor, gives us our final question
Legend.
Of the day. Writing, after the bastard is over, do you think the What Culture Wrestling team can make a new series where the lads recreate famous wrestling segments and angles, like the limo segment from last week's Dynamite, and Uesugi quotes the Don Callis quote, nothing better than six grown men in a limo, baby. I love this idea, Andy. Let's make this happen. Shotgun to start off with, to be Doc Gallows licking his biceps.
Yeah, we'd have to be recreating that limo segment in the back of your car.
Yeah.
Piling into
Renault Capture, lads.
Yeah, it's entirely up to you. Listen, I will say this. I am down for anything that means I don't have to take a bump. So we can do whatever the heck you want. Probably not Katie Vick. Probably not going to do something like that. A big no-no there. But hell yeah, why not? Let's do it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to pitch it to the bosses later on. See what
good
they say.
Good idea. Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm down to open mouth kiss every single member of the What Culture Wrestling team once we've all been vaccinated. I've missed that bloody much. Let's move on to today's and finally, often given nods to podcasts here on What Culture Wrestling. We've got our own one, of course, which is one of the best ones out there. But arguably, right behind us is a new podcast from Cassie Lee and Jesse. Jesse McKay, better known, of course, as Billy Bloody Kay, Peyton Bloody Royce of the Bloody Iconics. They've got a new podcast. It's called Off Her Chops. You can follow them now. I'm not sure if they've released any podcasts yet, but you can follow them on Twitter and on Instagram at Off Her Chops. Go and follow them. Go and give them support, because this is no doubt going to be right up there with some of the best podcasts out there, Andy.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. They've got ridiculous chemistry. On screen, and you'd imagine that would translate to a podcast as well. They seem like great friends. More from these two. They should be paired together wherever and for as long as they want to, because they're awesome together. I hope to see them show up somewhere from July.
And if that little podcast that could needs a bit of a leg up from one of the biggest podcasts out there, I will happily sit down and give them a bit of a rub and go, sit down and do a chat with Jessica and Cassie. Please let this happen. I'm determined to continue with this. Bother them on Twitter again. Right, let us know your thoughts on that and all today's stories in the comments section down below. Good luck having a pop at the one with glasses this time. Love Andy Murray's new glasses, by the way. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And as I said, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Daddy Boys sitting down to review Blood and Guts later on today. Plus, let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
You follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for...
Follow me at Wilmore. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Thanks for watching. My thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you, MJF, for just being a great bloke.
Thanks, Max. Cheers.
And we will see you soon.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.